You're listening to the Atlanta Dream Center Church Podcast. If you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar advances the kingdom of God. We hope that this message edifies and encourages you to do the great things God has called you to do.
All right, y'all, how many guys in here have ever wanted to see a result happen? You know what I'm saying? Like, you put all this work and you're hoping that something big will happen. Anyone ever had that before? For instance, okay, just for instance, I one time really put in all this effort to be an actor, and I did something. You guys don't know this, and I got actor friends like Frank Oakley in the back. What's up, Frank Oakley? We got actor friends, and I put all this effort in, and I got on IMDb. You guys know what that is? IMDb. Some of you guys use that to look up. And I got myself a professional account, and I paid for it, right? And I thought, man, I want to be an actor one day. Wouldn't that be cool to be an actor? Anyone in here? Yeah, there's only a few of us who think that would be cool, and that's okay. Because some of y'all think that staying at home and never talking to anybody is cool. So, you know, we're those different ends of the spectrum. And I remember I put in all this work, and I started building my profile, and this is what I thought. This is literally what I thought. I thought, I'm going to get this up here. I'm going to find an agent, you know, because that's what you're supposed to do. But I wasn't going to find any agent. In my head, I thought, there will be an agent who sees me and he will just know. How many of you guys are dreamers in here? Anyone in here dreamers? I'm thinking Tom Hanks' agent's going to see me. I'm like, another Tom? My gosh, you know? And he's going to bring me in. And nothing, of course, came of it. In fact, about 2 months go by and I canceled my pro membership. That's what I did. But I think that's a really stupid example of what a lot of us do. We want to see results happen. Maybe the biggest area we want to see results happen is in relationships. Anyone in here is working with friends and family? Maybe they're not Christian. So you're ministering and ministering and ministering, and you're hoping that there's going to be some kind of growth in their life. You know what I'm talking about? Man, I got family members and friends. I want to talk about one friend in junior high school. His name, well, I won't share his name because maybe he'll listen to this one day. If you're listening, I love you, dude. I hope you're great. He was an atheist, and we were from California. I don't know if you guys know what atheists are. I know we're in Georgia, and everybody's a Christian. But listen, in other parts of the country, there's people who are just blatantly against God. They don't believe in God, and they think you're a crazy person, which makes sense. And so I remember I'd get on the bus, and every time I'd get on the bus, he was kind of a buddy of mine, but he would tease a lot, and he said, oh, there's Tom, the guy who worships the invisible guy. That's what he'd say to me when I got on the bus. I would say, hey, what's up, man? You know, I'd love on him. And my dad was the pastor then, and he was running all sorts of stuff at our church, and one of the things we did at the church was instead of celebrating Halloween, we would do what's called a harvest festival. Did anyone go to a harvest festival growing up? Yeah, a few of you. Yeah, solid Christians right there. Those are real Christians right there, y'all. So anyways, man, I remember one time I was at the Harvest Festival, and our church was kind of popular, you know, and so kind of the town would come in, and this kid came strolling in. He was dressed as the devil, you know, appropriately, I guess, and he came in. I remember looking at him coming into church. I was so excited. I was thinking, oh, man, this is the opportunity, you know. He's going to get saved. He's going to get some candy. And that candy, God's going to use that candy. And God's going to probably speak through that candy like he did Balaam with the donkey, you know. The candy's going to say, why are you not serving me? He's going to get saved, you know. And I remember I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, you know. And then every time I got a chance, I would talk to him about it. He'd say, oh, there's that guy. Sir, Dom, how long are you going to serve this invisible God? That's what he would say. He'd always challenge me. And honestly, maybe it was a little bit of bullying. How do you say that? Bullying? Yeah, you guys don't. Not bullying, okay? He wasn't bullying me. He was a bully. Thanks, Dad. I feel like Porky Pig sometimes. You guys know what I'm talking about? You can never get it out, so he just changes the word up. And so he would tell me, and I would just keep working and working and working on him, and I would pray for him. And you know what happened in the end? Because I really thought every time we would talk and we'd have a serious conversation about God, and he wasn't being, you know, facetious, but he was actually listening and engaging, I would always do the same thing. I would think in my head, this is it. And then I would get in my head, I got to keep going. I got to push harder on this thing. And I would. I would push harder and harder. You know, I'd be like, oh, you know, once, dude, I'm not going to mention his name. I got to remember that. I'm not going to mention his name. I'd say, dude, we got to talk. And I'd try to get him into it. But every time I saw what looked like was going to be growth, it felt like all of a sudden things started going backwards. Has anyone ever experienced that before? And you just think, man, this is really working out. And all of a sudden you feel like, oh, I just took 3 steps backwards. What happened? Just last time I talked, I saw a lot of hope. And now I'm going where I'm at. And all of a sudden I got really discouraged with this friend of mine. I really did. I got really discouraged. And then at 15 years old, I moved away. And to this day, I have no idea whether or not he's serving God. No idea. But that impacted me. And what I mean by that, how it impacted me, is the first thing I did was I started looking at my tactics. Well, that didn't work. It didn't work just talking to him. So at 15 years old, I joined this. This is like, I don't even know what this was. Something, I got mail from. Basically, it was a marketing campaign. Has anyone ever done studies for, like, advertisements? Have you guys ever done that before? You get paid, like, $50, $100 to look at advertisements. Susie, you're a pro at that. Why is your hand not up? You're the reason why I know about that stuff. And I got this email or this piece of mail, so I signed up. And what we would do is a bunch of teenagers, there's a ton of us, we would get stuff released to us first. There was a song by Twister and Faith Hill. I don't know if you guys remember this song. It was from the movie Coach Carter. Did anyone watch the movie Coach Carter? Yeah, this song came out. I can't remember the title of it right now. Just look up Twister and Faith Hill. And I remember the song came out, and we got the first release. It was like, you know, this was the era of Napster. You guys remember Napster and stuff like that, right? So we got this song, and we'd all listen to it, and we'd make comments. And what would happen is we'd end up having this, like, this big old chat line going on. And so remembering my old friend at home, I had these guys who would just randomly get on there and they would say kind of blasphemous things about God. And so as a Christian, I would stick up for God. You know, how many of you guys ever feel like you need to stick up for God? Like, you know, like you're his older brother or something. You know, I got to stick up for this guy. And so I'm like typing away on this thing and I changed my tactic. I decided, you know what? What happened with that last guy just didn't seem to really work. I was always just trying to talk about Jesus. So this time, I'm just going to be really humble. I'm going to listen to the guy. And so I did. And for every day, y'all, I would get on that computer and we would have this like Discord, this conversation back and forth, texting on a Windows. I had a Windows Me computer. You guys know Windows Me? That was a 2000 computer. It was tight. I would type away and we'd go back and forth. And the guy never changed his life. He went on, as far as I know, as long as I knew him, he never became a Christian. I was discouraged. So then I go to high school here, right, in Georgia. I'm going to high school, and I'm going to all the Christian events, and eventually I just go, I don't know how this works anymore. So go through high school, I just kind of stopped witnessing to people. How many of you guys have found yourself not really witnessing anymore, right? Yeah, and you maybe got saved in the beginning, and you're going crazy telling everybody, but then you get to this place where it's like, man, I don't know how this works anymore. I'm going to quit. And that's what I did through most of high school. But then after high school, you know, I got into ministry. I said, okay, I got to tell people about Jesus. But then I didn't know how to do it. So this is what I did. I would go around and I would just reaffirm everybody. That's what I thought was like a good way of maybe getting people's attention, making them like me. That's why I thought witnessing was going to be effective. I would just affirm whatever you're going through. Oh, you're living in that sin? Well, that's okay. And I would affirm them. Because maybe if they liked me, I'd have an opportunity to speak to him about Jesus. And I found out that nobody really cared. They liked that I liked them. They liked that I affirmed everything they're doing in their life and okaying how they're acting. But the reality of it was nobody was changing. So I got real mad, you know, because there was this question that I heard when I was younger that really affected me. The question was this: when was the last time someone got saved because of you? I want to ask you that question. When's the last time someone got saved because of you? I hated that question. Man, I hate it because I was going, man, I keep trying. You know, it's not like I'm effortless out here. I'm putting a lot of effort, but why is nobody changing? And so I went through life, and there's some scriptures I'm going to point out. And the first one, if you have your Bibles, you guys bring your Bibles today? Because I didn't, but I hope you did. It's Matthew 9:38. It's a scripture, man. It's a great scripture. How many of you guys believe all scriptures are great? Yeah? Anyone in here? Yeah, I can say that every time, yeah. Matthew 9, verse 38. I'm sorry, Matthew 9. Yeah, I was seeing if you guys were listening. Matthew 9. We're actually going to go to verse 35. I'm going to read the scripture to you, and I want to talk about harvest. And today's sermon title, by the way, is Lord of the Harvest. It says this: Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. How many of you guys are so happy that Jesus is compassionate towards those in need? Amen. I am too. The rest of you don't raise your hand, you little jerks. I'm just kidding. Because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, this is what you should pray for. Pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." His harvest. So, y'all, I would read that story, right? And because here I am, a young man growing up, and I'm not seeing anybody's life get changed. I'm just keep living my life. Eventually, I get to this place where I don't want to tell people about Jesus. I say, I'll let my actions speak louder than my words. How many of you guys have ever heard that before? That is really important, that you let your actions speak louder, but it doesn't mean you don't speak. And so I was walking this way. Now, I would read this. I'd go, man, God, I don't get it. The harvest is plentiful. Why can't I get anybody to change? And that's what I was dealing with. And I want to ask a question in here, and I'm trying to get everyone's participation. How many of you guys have ever felt like you're putting all the work, but no produce is coming out? Man, you're doing all the hard work, you know? And I want to encourage you today about something. Because I share that long story, and maybe some of you guys aren't out witnessing, so maybe that doesn't relate with you, but maybe it's other things in your life, like walking out the promises of God, that you've walked around and you're saying, I know God says that the harvest is plentiful, but I'm not seeing that harvest. I don't know how to picture that harvest. I know for me, when it came to witnessing, I felt like 9 out of 10 times, actually more like 99 out of 100 times, the people I witnessed to didn't care. So I kept wondering, how is the harvest plentiful, God? Anyone in here relate to this? Because if I'm just preaching to myself, I'll end it early. Okay, good. Well, I want to break some things down really quick for you, and I want to encourage you about what you're called to do and what God's called to do. Amen? I'm going to talk about something kind of important, that you and I need to recognize what God's job is and what our job is. Can I say that one more time? You and I need to recognize what God's job is and what our job is. Amen? And the reason why I'm saying that is because we're going to talk about some things that are going to take a burden off your shoulders and allow you today to walk out this life doing what's important and letting God do his part that he finds important. And if we could get this in our heads and we could wrap around this, I want to tell you right now, you and I will become more radical Christians. Anyone in here want to be more radical as a Christian? Anyone in here? I know I do, man. I always look at it and go, man, I want to be crazier, you know? Not crazier, you know, I don't want to be drooling, but, you know, wilder. And so if you're in this place today, that's what we're going for. Are you down for that? Lord of the harvest. This is what Jesus sees. He looks out and he sees all these people. They're weary. They're tired, you know. Anyone in here tired right now? Yeah. Okay. We'll make everyone stretch here in a second. Yeah, hey, these guys are tired. They're beat up. And Jesus looks at them and says, man, I got compassion on them. And he looks at them almost as like sheep who have no shepherd. And I don't know if you guys know what that means, but sheep are one of the only animals that cannot survive without man. Did you know that? They are completely defenseless animals. You let sheep go out in the wild, you know, you want to see wild sheep, you'll find them dead. That's where wild sheep look like, dead. They're in the dirt. Because they're one of the very few animals that cannot live without protection. And so Jesus is looking out, and what he sees is, he sees a bunch of sheep wandering around. How many of you guys have realized without God, your good is dead? Anyone in here recognize that? Man, I walked my life around for a long time going, God, I don't need you. I maybe need some of your help. I don't need you. And I just found myself over and over and over in the same area as the enemy was standing. You guys know what I'm talking about? Every time I get away from the shepherd, I find the enemy is right there waiting for me. And he looks at these people and he says he has compassion on them. And he looks at his disciples, his followers. And I want to make this clear. His disciples were people who looked to him to teach them the way to live. That's what a disciple was. Someone who looked at the person they were following and said, I need you to teach me how to live. How many in here are disciples right now who say, God, I'm looking to you to teach me how to live? Anyone else in here? Okay, we got a couple disciples in here. Well, come on, give an applaud to the Lord. Come on, that's good. This is what he says, man. He says to his disciples, this is what he's saying to you and I. The Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest, you need to ask him. The one who owns the grain, the one who owns the produce, the one who has all that you work for, he says the harvest is plentiful, but there's no laborers out there. There's no one out there to go get it. And going back to my story, I kept thinking I was the one going to go get the harvest, but I realized something. I wasn't going to go get the harvest. That's what my problem was. You know what my problem was? I was trying to make things grow in people. And this is what I mean. Jesus says, man, the harvest is plentiful. There's so much. You guys ever seen a beautiful harvest before? You know, it's all this wheat, right? And it's blowing in the wind. There's some kind of majestic music playing in the background for some reason. You know, guys, what I'm talking about? The sun seems to always be setting when you look at those pictures. The harvest is plentiful. What he's saying is, look at all the fruit that's bearing. This is my reward. The seeds have been planted. We've nurtured, and it's growing. And right now, the only thing that needs to be done is people need to go out and grab the fruit. That's all they need to do. But in my head, I think in a lot of our heads, we're doing the wrong job. You and I are trying to be the ones who are Lord of the harvest. And what I mean by that is we are people who are looking to our relationships and our friends or our jobs and our promises, and we're going, it's not growing. And we're looking at it going, man, I don't get it. This is my harvest. I got these friends in my life. I had this friend in junior high, and I would sit there and I'd go, why aren't you growing? Now look at that scripture and say, man, God, you say you're the Lord of the harvest. You say the harvest is plentiful, so why isn't my buddy changing? And the Lord had to correct me. He said, because he's not plentiful of the harvest, go get the harvest. Now, I'm going to say something kind of crazy, something biblical. He said, you got to wipe your feet and get to the harvest and stop being upset about the weeds. Stop looking at the ungrown. You can water it, you can plant seeds, but my calling to you is to go get those who I've already grown up. Now, this is a big deal because I have a lot of heart for some people in my life. We're going to talk about those people and what your responsibility is, but I want to put this on your plates. God's looking for people to go find the people he's already raised up. I'm the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. Go out and gather them. I'm looking to you guys. You and I keep doing something. We keep tending to God's harvest, right? We say, God, I want to go out there. But we only tend to this little section in our lives. My family and my close friends. My family and my close friends. It's like, it's almost like if I was to go out into a field, right, a harvest, and I was only look at, you know, there's 11 of my siblings, right, and then I got their spouses, so that's 22, and there's kids, that's 38, so that's 60 people, and I'm looking at that, and then I got not just my family, but then I got all these other people that I know, like you guys. So it's like me looking at 200 crops, and that's as far as I'm going. Now I'm looking at my crops, right, the place that I have influence. I'm looking at that going, God, I see the harvest of my mom and my dad and my wife and my kids, but why don't we see the harvest over here? And could you imagine as someone who was hired out to go and collect a harvest for somebody, if you were hired out and you only went to one little section every day to check it? You and I have a calling in our lives to go beyond your circle and minister the gospel. Because there are people waiting, ripe for the picking. I want to say that to you again. You have a responsibility. Jesus is looking to and fro and saying, man, I have a harvest, and it's so plentiful. There's so many people I'm ministering to. I just need people to go out and reap them up, to share the good news, to go up to someone and say at a grocery store, hey, you know what? I love Jesus. And I just want you to know that he loves you. So that that person who God's already grown, the one who says, I'm the Lord of this harvest, could say, oh my gosh, I'm ready to come back to the King. And this is a really important thing that we grab a hold of. You're not responsible for making the harvest grow. You're responsible for going out and gather what's already been grown. But Tom, that doesn't make sense. Because, he tells me to go preach the gospel. He tells me to disciple people. So what do you mean I need to go out and just start harvesting the people that are already ripe? What does that mean? Well, I got another scripture for you. And this is where the burden is going to be lifted off. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm not going to read it yet because I got to tee you up for a second. You and I have a calling. And I'm going to say this. Every one of us. In fact, God says that we should be praying to him, God, will you send more laborers out? How many of you guys have noticed that you don't have a lot of people that you're ministering to? Have you guys noticed that? I'm a pastor. And I notice that I keep pretty tight to my circle. I do. And you guys are cool with me being honest, right? Yeah, good. You didn't say yes, but I said good because I'm going to be. When I go into stores, and the Lord beckons me, he moves on me, and he tells me there's a harvest right there. Tell that person this, or pray for that person, or bless that person. I get nervous. Anyone else in here get nervous? And I'll be honest with you, most of the time I tell him no. I don't tell him no like that. Usually I tell him like this, that's not you. That's not you, God, telling me to bless this person, to pray with this person, to reach out to this person. So what happens is we get stuck in our circles and we call it our little garden and we say, this is what I'm responsible for. And God's trying to wake us up and say, that's not what you're responsible for. You're responsible for the labor. Go out and reap it. Before I get to the scripture, I got to say something though. Kind of like my story, a lot of us have a hard time doing that because of our experiences. How many of you guys have witnessed to someone and nothing happened? Anyone in here? Yeah? Really? The rest of y'all, it worked every time? Maybe y'all should be preaching to me, bro. What? How many of you guys have tried witnessing and nothing happened? Let me see your hand. Yeah. At least that you know of. Okay, that's a little more encouraging for me. Golly. It's feeling like maybe you guys know something I don't know. And what happens is you do that thing, and then you go and change your tactic up because, man, that just didn't seem to work. No fruit, you know? How many of you guys have ever, you don't have to raise your hand on this, but I know for me, I've expected sometimes crazy radical change for someone. You know, everything seemed to be lining up just perfectly, and I thought, man, surely this is going to be like one of those miracle stories. They're going to get saved and changed forever right now. And then they're like, no, thank you, I'm good. Anyone, you know what I'm talking about? You guys ever had that? I've had times where this one story really quick. I don't want to tell stories all day, but this guy, man, I'm praying to the Lord, Lord, let me witness to someone. I'm walking with my brother, Adili, and we're walking. I'm going, God, let me just minister to someone. Who do you want me to pray for? And this guy, dude, he's a super good-looking guy, okay? Is that okay to say as a dude? He was super good-looking. His hair was slicked back. He was smiling. He had this leather jacket on, and he was, like, walking, like, you know? And the Lord says he's depressed. Pray for him. And the first thing I say is, he's not depressed. Look at him. How many of you guys know that we judge people from our own eyes? And the Lord says, I have better eyes than you. And the Lord says, no, go pray for him. So I turn around, I run back to him, I put my hand on his shoulder, and I say, hey, man, you're depressed. That's what I said. I said, what? You know, I said, could you imagine some stranger doing that to you? Even if you're depressed, you're like, get away from me, you wacko, you know? But I'm like, hey, man, you're depressed. It's like, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm so sorry. I was praying, and I just heard the Spirit of the Lord. Pause for a second. Some of us forget we have the Holy Spirit in us, and he's speaking to you. And we keep telling him he's not God. We keep saying, that's just my conscience. It's just my thoughts. And the Lord's going, don't you understand? I speak differently than you. So I tell him, man, the Holy Spirit just told me, you're dealing with depression, and he wants me to pray for you. So I'm nervous, right? I'm thinking, I hope this works. The guy looks at me and says, man, you have no idea. I literally just left counseling. He said, I've been suicidal for 2 weeks. My girlfriend just kicked me out. I just got out of prison. He starts unloading on me. I'm thinking to myself, this dude's going to be radically changed, man. You guys know what I'm talking about? How many of you guys would be like thinking the same thing? I'm thinking, this is it. So, man, let me pray for you. He goes, no. So I just say, oh, I'm going to. That's what I tell him. God help this guy's depression, you know? So I start praying for his depression. He's looking at me. I leave. The dude didn't change. In fact, he still thought I was weird, even though God had told me that. Now I'm thinking to myself, God, I don't know how to get people saved. I don't. I don't know how this works, man. I thought miracles. I thought maybe being kind. I thought doing all this stuff. And the Lord's trying to get my attention. He's trying to get your attention. Your job is not to get people saved. Your job is to plant the seed so that he could raise them up. And this is what it says, man, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I planted, this is Paul speaking, I planted, I put the seeds out there. Apollos, another one, he watered, but God, he gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and others build on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Let me just put this out here for you. The context of that scripture is awesome. I want you to go read the Bible, okay? But I want to say this to you. Paul's trying to point something out. He says, hey, look, y'all. I'm not the reason why you walk strong with the Lord. I plant seeds, he waters. That's what we do. But God is the God of the harvest. You are the field. He's the one who causes you to grow. And he says the reason why he does that is so that you don't try to take credit for what he's doing. I want to talk to you about your position. And then I want to take the burden off your shoulders. You have a job. You should be planting seeds everywhere you go. You guys ever see those people walk around the streets, you know, and they have the big I love Jesus shirt, and they're kind of obnoxious, you know what I'm talking about? Jesus loves you. I was like, okay, thank you. I'm trying the grocery shop. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? There's this guy in Australia for like 30 years, y'all. You should look up the story. It's the little man on some street, but little man on street on YouTube, you can find this. Every day after he got saved, he made a promise to the Lord because his life was so radically changed. He said, I'm going to pass out a tract to 10 people every day. And he's going to ask the same question. He said, God, I'm going to tell people about you every day because you changed my life so much. And he asked the same question. He said, if you die tonight, will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? Now, I'll be honest with you. If I see people witnessing like that, I kind of get a little flustered. That's not how you should witness. You know, you should be cool, you know? You should be casual about it. You guys know what I'm talking about because you do it too. I want to be cool and casual, you know? I want to pull out my cross is broken, so I don't have my cross. But I want to pull out my cross, you know? I wear an execution on my neck. What you, you know, what you else, dude? And I don't want to really mention Jesus. I want my actions to speak louder. So when they're complaining about something, I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't really live for this world. Yeah, I want to be cool and casual. So when I see people out there passing out tracts and asking harsh questions like, hey, if you die tonight, you're going to heaven or hell. I look at them and go, you're turning people away from Jesus. Because in my head, I think we have the responsibility of making it grow. And so I dismiss all these people who go out there with a strong message. I really do. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about everybody. I'm just talking about this one guy right now. Well, this dude does that for years. He never knew anyone even got saved. But after some calculations, a Baptist pastor had heard about him from a bunch of other leaders who got saved by his ministry. I mean, you're talking like Buddhists who are way ranking high Buddhists who went and traveled to Australia and met this guy and had a radical change that night. You're talking about pastors who weren't really following God. And this one pastor says, man, he gave me that track and I tried to argue with him. I graduated this school. I've been pastoring for this many years. He said he went back to his leadership and the leadership said, we've been concerned about you since day one. So this Baptist pastor goes down to Australia to meet with this little man, this old man who, by the way, was about to die a week later. No one knew that, of course, but that's how the story goes. And they calculated that he was responsible for planting the seeds for over 10,000 people who got saved through him. 10,000 people plus. And you're not just talking like, you know, us. You're talking about people who are ministering to thousands and thousands and thousands more. The crops were 100-fold. You know what he did? He stuck to his job. I'm going to plant the seeds. And I'm going to water. And God, I'll trust that you got the rest. He wasn't concerned. And actually, let me cap that story off. When they told him that, he had no idea. His story was real simple. He got saved because he was a drunk, got saved, and he said, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, never knowing if anyone would ever get saved. He just knew that's what he had to do. He died a week later, and I love the guy who's telling the story, the guy who met with him. He just says, can you imagine the welcoming he got in heaven that day when he died? All those people that saw the seeds that he was planting, and they came to know him. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Now, I'm talking about salvation. I'm going to break this down in a second here about some other things, too. You need to let go of the responsibility of what happens with the seed. And you need to concentrate on throwing out the gospel to more people. Can I say that again? Stop worrying about it. You know, cast the seed. Do me a favor. Don't even get your hopes up until you see fruit. Just cast the seed. Cast the seed. Water. You know what it means to cast the seed in water? Cast the seed means you give them the gospel of Jesus. You let people know who Jesus is, how great he is, that he died and rose again, that we could enter into his kingdom. You let people know. You know what it means to water? It means that you care for them. You should be caring for the people in your circle and the people in the grocery store and the people you're walking by. The person who cuts you off. You shouldn't be flipping them off, y'all. Yeah, you guys got quiet on that one. You guys been flipping people off, huh? Now you should be loving them. Casting seed, watering. But don't worry about the fruit. I want to say this part that I was talking about earlier. A lot of us have got messed up because of our experiences. Actually, I want to say this. A lot of us have relied so heavily on our experience that we keep missing God. And that's not just witnessing. I'm talking about in your job. I'm talking about in ministry. I've done that personally in ministry. I've been in ministry for a long time. And I oftentimes think, well, this tactic worked, so we got to do this tactic again. Oh, this worked. This is how people got saved. This was really effective. And then I also do this other thing where I have this other tactic where I go, well, this didn't work, so we need to change it. I want to make this really clear to everyone in here. Your past experiences, though they may be good, but they will play against you when you go to obey the Lord. I want to say that again. When God calls you to do something, your past experiences will be your number one enemy against it. But God, that's not going to work. There's no way that's going to work. I've tried that before, God. He says, just do it again. I've walked around this wall 6 times, God. Nothing's happened. Well, just do it again. I called you to do it a 7th time. Amen. Now, I'm talking about salvations, but I want to talk about something else really quickly because this is where I'm ending. This is where I'm going to land. I want to encourage you that your goal and your life and your labor is to do this, to go plant, to water, and to reap. The growth is God's. Don't be discouraged that you planted a seed and you watered it and you went out to reap it and there was nothing there. Just keep moving. God is the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest, not yours. Those are his people, not yours. They might be your friends, they might be your family, but that is his harvest. You plant, you water, you reap. You let him grow it up. That's not easy. But it's crucial that you take the burden off your shoulders. You're not responsible for what happens. You're just responsible to love on them, to share the gospel with them, and when they're ready, to bring them in, amen? Now, that's salvation, but I want to talk about something else. And this is going on a little bit of a limb, but I need to do this for you too. Some of you guys got promises and things that are from God. And I'm going to say this, ideas from the Lord. I'm going to use our Spanish church for an instance here in a second. You guys got promises, and you got these ideas from God. And you're getting discouraged because you're going out and you're doing all the hard labor. Some of you guys thought marriage was going to be breezy. Some of you guys thought having kids was going to be easy. Some of you guys thought all this stuff. And so you went in there and you're going, man, this is going to grow so nicely. I could already envision reaping all that God is growing in this thing. And you get out there and you're not seeing the harvest grow. I want to talk about Spanish service for a second. Can I share something about Spanish service? Good. I didn't tell you I was going to. You just said yes. You have no idea what I'm going to share. Spanish service. Mike and Angelique, every Sunday they're coming together and we're having church after church. These guys are doubly saved. And they're getting together, and at first it was like exciting because, you know, we have all these people in our church, Angelique and Monica, and people coming together. We're going, yeah, we're going to do this thing. And every Saturday they're going out into the streets and they're ministering at this neighborhood. And the idea was, man, we're going to minister to these guys. We're going to take a bus out there, you know. We're going to drive a bus. We're going to pack that bus out with all these people who need to hear about Jesus, but they don't speak English, so we're going to bring them in. And so these two are going out there every week. I mean, every week, huh? And they're ministering, and people are going, I'm coming to church tomorrow, you know, come pick me up. Michael 1 week goes out there to pick up some people who said they're going to come. He knocks on the door, and Micah's Spanish is broken, and their English is broken, so who knows, that conversation was broken, you know? They say, oh, we're not going to come today after all. Jumps back in the car and comes back with nobody. So he gets back and they have church with the same four or five people who interchange. And it was discouraging. And, you know, as a pastor of this church, it was discouraging for me to go, man, I had these expectations. God, I know this is what you called us to do. They know that this is what God called them to do. And we have these expectations like, God, you told us to go out and reap the harvest. I could see it when I closed my eyes. I could see this idea working so well. For some of you guys, it's work. For some of you guys have these great dreams that God's called you to. You're going, man, I'm putting my work in, but I'm not seeing anything happen. So we get together and Angelie's preaching and she's a little discouraged. She goes home one day and she's praying and the Lord just reminds her, this was my dream I gave to you. Let me grow it. So now every week they come together with joy, prayerfully. God, we need a worship leader. They prayed for that. God, we need a worship leader. They're coming in and man, they don't have a worship leader. So you know what they do? They put on some Spanish worship or worship, Maverick City actually. That was fantastic. I was jamming. I didn't know what they were saying, but so they're praying. Man, we need a worship leader. Then one Sunday, out of the blue, we get this message on Instagram. Hey, you guys having church? We say, yeah, come on in. And it's this couple who's in love with, like, on fire, like crazy. Because we're looking to and fro within the church, going, man, we don't see the harvest here. We know we're supposed to have worship. And all of a sudden, these worship leaders come in, and they're off the chain good. They're not just good at worship. They're good at social media. They're basically good at everything we're not good at. We're good at standing and smiling. They're good at everything. And this couple comes in, and all of a sudden, we're having worship on Sundays. But I want to say it again, though. The two new people who came in, they weren't getting saved. They're coming in just to join the party. More laborers are coming in. We have an idea, and we're still not seeing people show up. We go on Saturdays, and we're not seeing those people come in at all. But we're encouraged because we go, you know what, God? We're going to pray that more laborers would come in, and we're just going to keep throwing seed. We're going to keep watering, and when we see the fruit, we will be sure to bring it on in. But God, this is yours. Now, I'm saying that about church, but I want to say that about you. You got these dreams and these visions and these goals, and God's saying, this is mine first. This was mine first. You just do your part. But God, I've been doing this over and over, and I'm not seeing nothing grow. He says, that's my job. I bring the increase. Water, plant, and reap. But God, I really want this thing. I know that I can do good. This isn't yours. This is mine, he says. I am the Lord of this harvest. But God, I want to see the fruit. I will bring it. Get that off your shoulders. This isn't about what you thought was successful. This is about laboring in what the Lord has allowed you to come into. His kingdom. It's about you and I playing our position. God, I don't know why you told me to dream like this. I don't know why you had me come and speak Spanish at church and do a Spanish service. God, I don't know why, but I'm just going to keep planting the seed. I'm going to keep watering because I know in the end, this is not my harvest. This isn't even my reward. My reward comes from you. Like Paul said, I will be rewarded by God. This harvest I want to see because I love it. You called me to it. God, if I don't know if anyone ever gets saved in this Spanish church, I will keep going. I will plant the seed because it was never about the growth. That was your job. My job was about obedience. Here's my seeds. Here's my care and my love. My family member doesn't know the Lord. I'm trying, I'm praying. And the Lord says, that's your job. Keep at it. Plant the seed. Water the soil. And when it's time, I'll make sure that you're the one who reaps it. Well, I don't know. I've done this a million times. God, this seems too risky. It's going to fail. Let it fail. It is my job to make it succeed, not yours. You do your part. Plant the seed. Nurture it. And reap it when it's ready. If you could get this in your head, you could be radical. Because all of a sudden, you don't mind going out and casting seed out wherever you go. Can I tell you about Jesus? You could wear the I love Jesus shirt and say, Jesus loves you to people. Because all of a sudden, you know what your position is. I got one job. Okay, I got three jobs. Plant the seed. Water. Reap. The growth, the increase is yours. How many in here could recognize that God has called you not to bring the success in your life, not to bring the success of salvation? He's just called you out to be a laborer, amen? And how many of you guys know that is good news? And this is why it's good news. The pressure is not on you to make it happen. The pressure is on you just to do your part. Everything else is his. When he says, cast your burdens upon me, my yoke is easy, you know what he's saying? I got it. You just follow me. I got it. You just go out into the fields and pray that more will go with you. Because he makes this promise. The harvest is plentiful. You see these empty chairs? Oh, the harvest is plentiful. We just got to go get them. You see those salvations that you're praying for? He says, the harvest is plentiful. I just need my laborers out there. They don't need to come together all the time and sit and then go home. No. I need my laborers out there because the harvest is plentiful. Amen? We'll stand to our feet. We're going to pray. I'm going to offer a time to come to know the Lord. We're also going to pray that the burden would be off our shoulders. And it's funny is that I had the sermon title 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I don't do maths well. And so I didn't realize that I had this sermon prepared for this Sunday, the very Sunday, that me and Dad are going homeless to raise $500,000. Now listen, I'm saying that because there's this pressure inside me to speak a certain way and to get you to really like get excited about this thing. But that's not my job. My job is to go do the work. And the Lord says that I will provide the harvest. And it's cool that I'm telling you this today because I'm saying that and going, man, God, I just gonna sound crazy. But I almost feel like, God, what a great time to prove your word. This is your work. Because I'm going to be honest with you guys. We didn't do a good job marketing this thing. We didn't do a good job telling everyone about this thing. This will be a miracle. No. Take that back. This will be evidence that he is the God who brings increase. It's not by our knowledge. It's not by our tactics. It's by our obedience. And he does the increase. Amen. But that's not just for this church. That's for you personally. So we're going to all close our eyes. But I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray over you. And then we're going to get an opportunity to come know the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest. That, Father, all those times we tried and we failed and we tried and we failed, that it was never failure, Father. That it was never about seeing the harvest grow. That wasn't our job, God. And we've sat and we've thought and we've had meetings. We've gone to services about, man, how do you make things grow? But, God, this whole time, you've just been saying to us, I'm the God who causes the harvest to grow up. This is my harvest. You've just been called to plant seeds. You've just been called to water and nurture one another, to encourage and edify. So if I pray over all of us right now, Jesus, that God, if it's people who come to know you, Jesus, in our life, if it's God dreams that we're supposed to walk out, Jesus, and we don't find it successful, God, if we're in this room, we're going, man, I'm not seeing the harvest in our lives, God, that we would take that burden off and be reminded, God, you bring the increase. And we trust you today, Father. That God, whatever we lay our hand to, Father, we're going to go and lay our hands by spreading the gospel, by nurturing and edifying and bringing in those who are ready for the ripe harvest. And God, I pray over everybody right now that they would be able to shake the burden of making things happen. And they would be able to focus on their one position, trusting that you, God, want the harvest more than we do. That God, it was your dreams and your visions. It's your people. So if I pray over all of us in this house, that God, we would be people who recognize that you are the Lord of the harvest.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. Once again, if you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar advances the kingdom of God. Until next time, be blessed and go do the great things God has called you to do.